Hello, and welcome to the Tea with Tresetta podcast. I invite you to join me each week where I'll share the training, encouragement, and answers you need to be successful in your purpose, as well as interview some awesome women of faith walking fully in their God-given purpose through entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Tresetta Alexander, faith-based business coach and founder of Sister Spotters. I believe you can be wildly successful without competing or compromising your beliefs. Let's dive in. Hey there, Purpose Pursuers. Welcome back to another episode of the Tea with Tresetta podcast. Today, I am sitting back down with Dr. Angela Poole in follow-up to last week's podcast episode where we talked about the brand new stimulus package. And so today, Dr. Poole, Angela, is going to be breaking that down for us so that we know what it means for our businesses, our organizations, and for those of us who are solopreneurs or gig workers. So, Angela, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tresetta. I'm glad to be back. There's so much information to share.
Oh, I'm sure there is. And there's been a lot of developments. And so I, first of all, I want to say thank you for taking the time to go back through and digest. Of course, you're doing it for your clients anyway, but I appreciate you taking the time to really dig through the minutia of the materials and bring it back to the show so that people, small business owners and different organizations can get access to the information that's digestible, means something to them.
Yes, exactly. Not a problem at all. I found that, like you said, I was pulling together the information anyway, and it was coming from all these different sources for all these different types of people, from individuals to small businesses to churches to artists and musicians to nonprofits. And I found it was just easier to compile everything in one place. So I set up a page on my website. If you go to drangelapoole.com and just slide over to COVID-19 resources, I have them all listed in one place.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll make sure to have the link to that in the show notes so that people can get quick access to what we talk about today. So I'm just going to let you drive, be in the driver's seat today to really kind of update us on what you have found out about the stimulus package and what it means for us.
Okay. And let me just emphasize that these resources literally change every day. So as soon as I find out something new, I go on the page and I add a new link. It's changing because the federal government rolled out this bill the last week of March and made an update, and then some other sub programs as part of this are rolling out in the next coming days. So there's some things that weren't even available until yesterday, April 3rd. There's some more things that will start to roll out April 10th and on. So as we get more information on not just the programs, but how you can apply for them, just the links aren't even available for all of these. The applications aren't even available for all of these resources yet. So as I find out, I'll continue to add to my page. And what I'm finding too is more corporations are giving assistance. So Facebook recently added a grant for not-for-profits and for small businesses. And so I added that onto my page as well. So as more do things, I'll add them as well so that you can have the whole gamut of types of assistance, not just government assistance.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So
there's so much out there. So if you go to my page, what you'll see is coronavirus resources, and I have COVID-19 resources, and I've broken it down into several groups. I have resources for small businesses and sole proprietors. I have resources for artists and musicians. I have resources for churches and not-for-profit organizations. And pretty much everybody kind of fits in one of those groups. If you're not a small business or a church or a musician or artist, you're probably will be considered a large corporation, meaning you have more than 500 employees. You don't need my website to help you. You have somebody internal in your staff. You have a general counsel, and I'm sure researchers who are already on top of this. So I really wanted to focus my page to be for the small businesses who don't have that corporate engine behind them. So if you're able to follow along, you can go to drangelapoole.com, COVID resources, and it will scroll from top to bottom. depending on how your page is. Sometimes it's left to right, but it starts with small businesses and sole proprietors. And I put for all the different groups, the first place you want to start with is the U.S. Small Business Administration, or SBA. They have an economic injury disaster loan. And that loan is a low interest loan for small businesses, and it provides working capital. And all you do is click on that link. It walks you through about four pages, and it asks you, and it's a streamlined web-based application, which is really nice. It asks you questions about your business. Have you been in business more than a year? You can actually click on it. Tracetta, I see that you're following along. If you're able to click the link, people can see it if you'd like. It just walks you through the forms, and literally you just answer the questions. You know, how long have you been in business? You can just literally scroll, and there's a page on there where you actually apply. It looks like they've actually changed the page, so I'll be continuing to update. So you see right there where it says apply for the loan advance. So this has even changed, because when it first came out, it was click here to apply now, and you go through four or five pages. It would say, have you been in business for at least a year? Can you tell us your revenues for the year leading up to the disaster, which the government considers the disaster, starting basically January 31st, around that time. So basically, if you file taxes for last year, you just use your tax return amount and maybe add a month, roll forward to include the month of January. If you haven't filed, which some people haven't because the deadline just got extended, that's fine. You can use estimates. When you go through that form, it will say, would you like to be considered for a $10,000 advance while we review your application? And of course, you say yes. And you put in your bank information, and the program is supposed to fund you within 3 to 5 days. I haven't yet seen that happen, but that's what's supposed to do. But now I see that they have separated the advance, and they're highlighting that part so that you're actually applying for an advance here. Because it's taking so long to actually review the applications, they're pretty much just giving everyone kind of a $10,000 off the top advance while they work your application. And that advance does not have to be repaid. So you can see this last sentence right here, this loan advance will not have to be repaid before you apply. So at this point, it's just, hey, we're just going to give everybody $10,000 while we figure out your situation. And they're supposed to be making these funds within 3 days available to your application. So I would start there. You basically just have to try to estimate what you think your injury or loss would be, which no one really knows because we don't know how long this virus issue will last. So what's reasonable is to say what you think the impact will be to you through, if things continue the way that they are through September or through December. You hope it wouldn't go past that time. We'll start there. I added some Florida specific things. So this is the SBA website. If you go back to my page, I added some Florida specific loans as well. If you're a Florida small business, there's an emergency bridge loan that you can apply for there. That's more if you've had property damage or you need equipment. There's a lot more information that has to be gathered for this. And this actually is a loan. Versus the first one does not, that we talked about, that $10,000 does not have to be repaid. I added the Facebook.com because that actually is a grant for small businesses, another one that does not have to be repaid. So I put that as the second one after the Small Business Administration resource because I'd like you to try to maximize on the relief that does not have to be repaid. So Facebook will be next. You go there and apply for one of their grants. You can even go down. I put some things for small business owners in terms of other relief, in terms of when tax returns are due. There's some extended filing deadlines. So tax returns for small businesses normally are due March 15th, and personal tax returns are due April 15th. That timeline has been extended to July 15th. So even that extension provides some relief for people who are having a hard time getting their documents together, filing their taxes, even paying taxes if they owe, you have until July. So that helps push back that deadline. I went to the U.S. Chamber. There are some small business loans there. The Treasury Department has this program called Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP. Now, this is a very new program. It just rolled out yesterday. And you have to apply through your banks, through Small Business Administration approved lenders, and most major banks are, and most credit unions are SBA approved lenders. When this program first came out, it said you can apply to any bank, whether you were a member of that bank or not. the banks now, as they roll out, they say, well, we have this funding, but we want you to be a member of our bank, and we want you to have a loan relationship with our bank. So you may or may not be eligible for this based on your bank's rules, but you can look for other SBA lenders. So just know that. But what this does is covers your payroll expenses for 2.5 times, or gets you through 8 weeks or so of payroll, 8 to 10 weeks of payroll. And this does not have to be repaid either, as long as you retain 75% of your workforce. So you only can lay off up to 25% of your workforce. They want you to keep the majority of your employees working because you have this loan. And you can use it for payroll expenses, business insurance, your rent, utility payments. And as long as you use it for those things, you don't have to repay. It is a loan, very low interest rate, but it will not have to be repaid if you use it for payroll and other related expenses. So those are things I would say most people would start there if they are a business and they've been in business for at least a year. So you can go over. Did you have any questions on that part for small businesses and sole proprietors?
Is there any relief or any contingency for those who maybe only recently started a business? They haven't been in business for a full year yet.
The Paycheck Protection Program does, if you at least maybe started in January, because they want to see what your average payroll is. So if you literally just started your business March 1st and then COVID happened, or February 1st and COVID happened, it is going to be difficult to apply for some of these grants. I won't say that you can't, but the priority does seem to be for businesses more than 1 year. And Business Administration economic injury loans, you do have to be in business at least 4 years for that one.
Okay.
Okay, so if you come over to the right, you'll see resources for artists and musicians. I put that on here because there are a lot of people impacted by this virus who are in a creative space. So maybe you're a conference speaker, maybe you are a musician, maybe you're a creative artist and you work in theater. Maybe you play for a church and that's your gig, that's your every Sunday, money, and maybe midweek service money. And now that churches can't gather for more than 10 people and churches have gone basically virtual now, well, right. You don't have that money. So if that's you, you can apply for the small business support as well. As long as you receive a 1099, you're still a sole proprietor, right? So you can apply for that. But there are also some creative sources just for musicians. So Grammy.com. So this is another corporate source. They have a relief fund for musicians, and you don't have to be a Grammy award winning musician to apply for it. This is just the Grammy saying, if you are a musician and maybe you had some concerts booked, or maybe you had some gigs, maybe you're about to go on a tour and it got canceled because of this, and you can show proof of cancellation, you can apply for relief and they will help you. Okay. And some of these other ones are the same thing. The Equal Sound Corona Relief. If you had an event that was canceled, they will pay up to $500 per gig. It's on a first come, first serve basis. And some of these as well relate to, like, the creators, also relates to speakers. So I put that on here.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So if you know you were scheduled for a conference and it got canceled because of this, this may apply to you as well as a speaker. Like, it's still considered a gig.
Right. Let me ask you this. So what about, where would events, like event hosts, fall into all of this? Because a lot of, a lot of people were planning large events or even smaller, smaller scale events, but there's still financial ramifications because people, maybe they had to postpone or cancel altogether and are refunding people their tickets, but then they're still, because they may cancel, there's still costs associated with canceling contracts that you had. So is there any type of relief for event hosts?
Yes. And I would say if, as a host of an event, you are an incorporated host, you have an LLC or some kind of sole proprietor business that does this, you could be an event planner as well, then you would count under sole proprietors and small businesses, and you would apply for the economic injury disaster loan, the one that gives the $10,000 advance. because you as well can document that you suffered substantial injury because of the virus, because of all the events you had to cancel. And you basically would say, my revenues were supposed to be X, and because of it, my revenues are X minus something. And then I have all of these expenses, and now I have additional expenses for cancellations. I'm suffering injury. As long as you can kind of quantify that, then you can apply for the Small Business Administration's Economic Injury Disaster Loan.
Okay,
so this will require people to be a little more creative in how they consider and view, how they consider themselves and view what they do. Because I've been talking with, you know, hair salon owners, barbershops, massage therapists, you know, estheticians, people who are sole proprietors out there in the community, but they didn't view them. They know they're in business, but they didn't view themselves as a small business that could qualify for these loans. And I've been, you know, letting them know, you own a small restaurant, you have a food truck that all of a sudden there's no traffic because everyone's at home. You've suffered injury. You can't open your salon because there's a stay-at-home order. You've suffered an injury. Wow. I had massage, you know, therapy sessions canceled. My facials and my massages were canceled, you know, so I thought, well, I guess my therapist is probably struggling right now. My fitness trainer, same thing. They can apply for these because they're sole proprietors. There's just so many ways that you just really have to view your business as a business and recognize that you've suffered a loss. And the unemployment assistance as well for the state of Florida has expanded to sole proprietors and self-employed individuals that they can now apply for unemployment if they're not able to pay themselves payroll. They can consider themselves self-employed and underemployed or unemployed at the same mm-hmm. time during this period.
Okay. So, for example, someone who... a stylist who works in a salon and pays like a booth rent, they are eligible under the SBA guidelines for this relief because they're still a sole proprietorship, even though they work in a salon.
Yes. And if they can show that their revenue went down because they weren't able to see as many clients, then they definitely would qualify. And if you'd like, Tricetta, when you go back into this link, where it says apply for the advance, click on that just so that people can see who is described there, the type of businesses that are described there. And you'll see that it's pretty wide net. And these funds are first come, first serve. So you'll want to try to hop on as quickly as you can. So where it says right here, apply for.
Oh, sorry. I went actually into the loan. Let me back up just a.
And it's probably the same thing. There it is. Streamline process requirements. Yes. So you see there's just the four little sections. Scroll down to eligible entity so that people can see. This is what you basically need to be, just one of these things. So you just need to have not more than 500 employees, because as we said before, if you have 500 employees, there's a whole nother set of funds for you. You don't apply through this. This is for small business, okay?
Okay.
But you could be the other one, an individual who operates under a sole proprietorship with or without employees, or as an independent contractor. Well, that covers just about everybody else, okay? And then these other ones don't really fit most people. We can skip those and go down to the bottom. This would apply to churches. If you're a private nonprofit organization that's not a government agency, you can also apply for this as a church or not-for-profit. So if you're a pastor who maybe you had a few, you know, 50 to 100 or 500, 1,000 people coming to church every week and you were collecting offerings and now all of a sudden you can't meet, that's a loss of revenue. The church has suffered economic injury and the church still may have to pay rent, may have to pay mortgage and utility bills and payroll. And so a church can apply for this as well.
Okay.
I just want to see the different types of people who are eligible for this.
So, you know, going into the eligibility for churches, how, and, you know, churches and nonprofits. So they're saying that this is essentially a grant is what it boils down.
Yes.
Yes.
The first 10,000 advance is not to be repaid. So that's essentially a grant.
Mm-hmm.
That's while they review your application for the greater loss that you've suffered. You know, it still remains to be seen of that greater loss, how much they will give you as a loan or grant or advance. But from what I can see through the the law is still saying that it's going to be a very low interest rate, which we're thinking will be like 0.5 to like 2%. It's in that range. And I think the law says no more than a certain percent. It's very low.
Okay.
After a certain number of years, even that is forgivable. So it basically is a grant, but a portion of it is, it acts like a loan for a little bit of time, and then it kind of goes away and it's not have to be repaid.
Okay.
So, but that first 10% for sure is like a grant. That first 10,000 that they're advancing you is like a grant. And that's okay. Just so that they can give you something to start with while they review the rest of your application to figure out what else you can receive.
All right.
Okay. So I want you to see that. And if you go back to the website and you've had a good segue, Tresetta, into churches and not-for-profits, there's a section just for that. And so again, I put the small business same link there because churches qualify for that. And then there are some things specifically for not-for-profits that are coming out. Like here's the Kincaid Family Foundation. They're putting out emergency grants for humanitarian nonprofit organizations. If you have a program that supports women, children, families, they're giving out grants. And so there are other not-for-profit organizations that are putting these grants. And as I find them, I add them that not-for-profits can apply for. And people forget that churches also provide programs for women and children.
Right.
You're having like a women's conference or some program to help support, mothers who've gone through domestic violence or a child care program or anything with, character building for children that counts as an initiative for women and children, you might qualify for this. And this is a one-time grant that does not have to be repaid. And this just covers just any unexpected emergencies related to this pandemic. That could be the fact that, you had to, hold on to employees who had to be stay at home but couldn't come into work, which meant you weren't getting revenue. It could be extra supplies for sanitation. People have had to go out and buy masks and things that maybe were not in your budget. And so those are things you can get one-time grants for.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to tack on to what you were just talking about. I'm thinking about how, I work for a major university and I'm working from home and I had to go and, get things out of my office to bring home for me to be able to be here. But as, I don't anticipate having to do a great deal of printing, but I'm just thinking about how a lot of these smaller organizations who have the smaller, have the smaller budgets of these nonprofits, they're going into their home and they're personally having to come out of pocket for things that they would not have possibly had, or they're having to provide those items for their employees. Where it would have been in a, single locale, like for example, maybe an executive director might decide to provide paper or provide ink for a printer, which can get very expensive when you have, let's say, 5 to 10 staff members who are now working from home and they all need ink versus having a large copier in your office space.
That's a very good point. I have a client that I'm working with now that before this virus, and they're a mental health and substance abuse treatment center. And so they have people who come in for treatment, they have dosing of meds daily, and they have to go through counseling. There's very hands-on, it's very client-facing, and it's very close-up work. So once this disaster came and social distancing became an issue, they had to go and buy additional gear, protective equipment and gear for the nurses and the counselors to wear when they're speaking with clients, and they had to purchase partitions. They had to get tablets so that counselors can sit in a separate room away from the clients and actually do telemedicine. And some of those counselors now are at home remotely doing, like we are now talking on our Zoom, they're doing remote counseling. So they had to purchase tablets, purchase laptops, and the clients still come into the normal facility, but they go into like a little cubicle or a separate office and talk with their counselor from somewhere else. So all of that had to be accommodated, and those were additional expenses that were outside of the normal process. in addition to sanitizing the space and spaces for clients to sit, you know, 6 feet apart and having lines drawn outside and just, you know, having the gloves and, you know, the all the Lysol wipes and extra, you know, regular schedule of deep cleaning and antiviral and antibacterial cleaning on top of the normal regular janitorial services that are part of the clinic. So there are some additional expenses people are incurring just to stay in business, and they're still getting reduced revenues while they're having to increase their costs.
Yeah. Awesome.
So these are just, you know, updates from the last time that we talked. I will continue to add to this. I did put a little spot on here just to say, if you need assistance, you can contact me. But I will tell you, and I say on here, these forms are very straightforward. They're intentionally straightforward. The goal is for them to, you know, have very minimized red tape. We talked about last week that now is not the time for red tape. And so I put that on there to let you know these forms are very, very simple. And you can do it on your own, but there are some people that, you know, if you still want assistance, you can contact me, but I will encourage you. They're very easy to do on your own.
Yeah, this is really great. I appreciate you putting that together. I'm sure that, having a single place to go and, find all the information that you need is very helpful for people. I wanted to ask you if you've heard, you know, we at the offset, we were talking about how initially the plan was to, within 3 days of those applications being submitted, for you to receive that $10,000 advance. However, I know I've seen word that, you know, I personally applied. I've also seen other people who have applied who have not heard anything. And I'm sure that they were not prepared for the volume of applications that they received when they said, well, within 3 days. I think that that was kind of a pie in the sky estimation. So have you heard anything or learned anything about how long they truly anticipate this process to take before people start to see relief?
It's really touch and go. I've applied as well, and I got the initial confirmations. This is your application number. We'll be in touch. And then I had another follow-up. We received your application, and we'll be reviewing it and make sure you apply for the advance. But it has been more than 3 days, and it has not come in. Neither has an answer on the application. I've done the same thing for clients, and I tell clients, all you can do is hold on to that application number. It's date stamped, and just wait. Unfortunately, as you said, the applications were many millions more than they anticipated, and their systems have been flooded. Even the Paycheck Protection Program was supposed to roll out on Friday. It was supposed to be first thing in the morning, and that had delays. And banks are still figuring out how to even tap into that money. Even the stimulus checks that we talked about last week for individuals, the $1,200 that's coming to each taxpayer whose adjusted gross income is less than $75,000. That was supposed to be out in a couple of days or weeks. Now it's 3 to 4 weeks, maybe 4 to 6 weeks. So I think it's just the government just is not prepared. It's a massive bill on the trillions of support that's there, but how to actually roll it out and the processes in place to roll it out, I don't think are in place yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. I imagine too that that there's challenges with the application systems in and of themselves, with the sheer volume of people who are trying to apply, that I imagine there's probably some outages from time to time. So definitely want to encourage you, if you have not applied yet and intend to be patient, give grace, because, you know, you, as we all know, that this is a global situation, and here in the U.S., it's not just a single state or just a handful of states being impacted. This is every single state within our nation that's being impacted and is needing the same assistance that you're needing. And so, as best as you can, be patient as we all navigate through these challenging times and the fluidity of the situation that we are facing.
I'll tell you, it really is touch and go. And because the systems are not set up yet, the technology is not fully there, the bandwidth is not fully there, the people aren't fully there, because they're even at the Small Business Administration is even asking for processors to assist them with these applications. So I think they just don't have the manpower as well. So just be patient, like I said. But also do other things. Apply for deferrals. If you have a mortgage, you can contact your bank. Most banks, if you go online, they already have an automatic 90-day deferral for your mortgage payments. Go ahead and apply for that. Same thing for your vehicles. Same thing for credit card loans. Get all of that assistance up front. If you're renting, write a letter to your landlord. Right now in the state of Florida, there's a automatic stay or defer or cancellation of any pending foreclosures or new evictions as well as foreclosures. So that there's kind of just everyone, like you said, is just giving each other grace, right? We're saying, well, let's just give people time to figure this out. People are being furloughed from their jobs. It doesn't do any good just to be having homes being foreclosed, people being evicted right now with everything that we're going through. And what the government is doing with these programs, they're saying to the landlords, well, if you can't collect rent, then you get in line like these other business people and apply for the same assistance as well, right? So everyone is struggling. So I would say don't take advantage of the situation, but go ahead and apply for what is already part of the relief and it's already there for you. I think even student loans are being deferred. The interest rates are set to zero during this time. And so I'm hearing that some people are seeing that they're balances have been written off. I've not seen that personally, but I've been hearing
early. I wish mine would be.
The interest rate was zero, which is nice, but the payments are still due. I think they made one or two payments, but someone told me their balance was zero. So check on that. But they're doing everything else they can do around the process until they get the money in people's hands. Whatever they can do to keep people going.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, Angela, I really appreciate you coming on the show again for this special episode to kind of update us on where things are. I will definitely leave the door open for another episode should there be any additional developments as we move forward, because, you know, like we said already, that this is a very fluid situation. And so I want to make sure that we get the most up-to-date information filtered out to those who need it the most. So thanks again for being on the show.
You're welcome. I'll continue to keep the resources updated on my website, drangelapool.com, COVID-19 resources. As soon as I find out new information, I'll paste it on there. And as you and I receive our $10,000 advances, we'll know and we'll have more of an indication of how long it takes. But yes, I'll let you know when there's something substantial to update you with.
All right. Well, thanks again for being on the show today. And family, kingdom purpose pursuers, just want to remind you as always that you got this. And most importantly, God has you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would help me get the message of purpose and prosperity out to as many believers as possible. You can do this by sharing the podcast with another purpose pursuer or by leaving me a 5-star review on iTunes. Until the next episode, Kingdom blessings.